Thank you, Susan. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Leviticus. Now the 16th chapter of the book of Leviticus. Studying through the book of Leviticus, I have been looking forward to getting to this chapter. It's one of those chapters that I actually understand. It's a good place to be. Leviticus, the 16th chapter. We'll be dealing with the 16th and 17th chapter, beginning in the beginning. And the Lord spoke unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron your brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. And he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and the linen mitre shall he be attired in. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on, and he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his household. And he shall take two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. Now down in verse 16. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanliness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remains upon them in the midst of their uncleanness. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take now your word, that you would touch our hearts. Father, that you would make this a very important moment for us. Teach us of your mercy and grace. Teach us of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, touch us and draw us to Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I was growing up, I had a friend by the name of Neil Morris. Now, Neil was a little bit different. I found out that Neil missed school an awful lot. I didn't know how it was done. He was gone a lot, and when he would come back, I would ask, where in the world were you? And Neil would tell us he had to be out for a holiday. And a holiday? Well, I didn't get the holiday off. How come you got a holiday off? And Neil told me he was Jewish, and so he observed the Jewish holidays or the Jewish holy days. Now, I watched Neil through the days and I noticed that he got the Jewish holidays off and then he got the Christian holidays off. Now, Jews celebrate at least 13 holidays. Some of those holidays take several days. Putting religion aside, to my small mind as an elementary age student, I just knew he got out of school a lot. And if you added 13 of his holidays with our holidays, that's a whole lot of free time. And it looked pretty good. Most Gentiles have trouble naming Jewish holidays. We can come up with a couple, I think. They're not that hard. We know Passover. Passover pretty much is one that we've gotten down. It is the day commemorating God's passing over the Israelites. He looked to the angels looked to the door of the Israelites. If the door was marked by blood, the death angel would pass over. And if the door was not marked by blood, death would enter that household, and the eldest child would die. What a blessing for the Israelites to have been passed over. And being passed over brought about the Israelites' freedom from slavery. That particular holiday lasts for 8 days. Now, we know it because it falls during our season called Easter. Then if we had to come up with another one, there's probably one more that most of us could come up with. It would be Hanukkah. Hanukkah, we know because Hanukkah comes around Christmas. And so we can kind of put that together. Hanukkah actually is not a major holiday for the Jews, but nevertheless one they celebrate. It commemorates the recapturing of the Jewish temple. The lights are lit day by day on the menorah. They will light 8 different lights. But more important to a young mind, they get a gift when they light a light. And so they get 8 gifts. Don't be greedy, folks. Most of you do far better than that at Christmas time. And so they have Hanukkah and the Festival of Lights. 2 of the most important holy days for the Jews are Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur come in September. Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish New Year. It actually means head of the year. Jews that don't attend synagogue any other time during the year go for Rosh Hashanah. Jews that don't darken the doors on that day. Kind of like a lot of people do Easter. You know, they actually dress up to be in synagogue on this particular day. The biggest event of the service is the blowing of the shofar. Now, if you if you're one of those that somewhat dozes off, there's nothing to wake you up, quite like somebody sneaking up behind you and blowing a big horn. And so they blow the shofar, and it means that God has blessed. And so it is a day for spiritual awakening. It is connected to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the single most important day for the Jews. Yom means day. Kippur means atonement. It is the day of atonement, the day of forgiveness of sins. It is the day when God cleans house in your life. It is the day when God erases all the sins that have not been forgiven. It is the day to start again. In Genesis 3, we have the terrible story of sin coming into the world. God loves us, but God is holy, and God cannot tolerate our sin. He can't tolerate your sin. He can't tolerate my sin or anyone else's. In his love, he decided to move to atone for our sins, to make a way that he could have a relationship with us, a way for us to be forgiven. The Jews would make sacrifices, a blood sacrifice. They knew they had a sin problem. Through the years, I've met a few people, very few people, that didn't think they had a sin problem. I've met people that have thought that they were absolutely perfect. Now, I've met some people who acted like they thought that, but they didn't think that. Most people understand we've messed up sometime. Most of us understand we haven't been perfect before the Lord. Most of us understand we have failed in our lives. And because we have failed, we can't stand before a holy God. We are humans. By Adam, all humans have fallen. And since we are humans, we have fallen with him. But you know, we can't blame Adam because all of us have also fallen by our own choices. There's been a time in your life, there's been a time in my life, and I wish there had only been one time, but times when we've chosen to go against God and God's will, and that, my friend, is sin. If a holy God was going to have a relationship with sinful people, he was going to have to take the initiative. You see, there's nothing a sinful person can do to get rid of the sin in order to get to God. So God would have to devise a way to remove the sin enough so that he could relate to us and we could relate to him. Leviticus 16 and 17 gives us God's method of bringing atonement to the Jews, and it pictures how God will bring atonement to all who will receive it. This atonement for sin is necessary if we're going to enter the presence of God. Now he starts off talking about garments in verse 4 of chapter 16. He shall put on the linen coat. This is the high priest. He shall have linen breeches upon his flesh and shall be girded with a linen girdle. We want our priest thin. And with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are the holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water and so put them on. This chapter starts moving us back to chapter 10 of the book of Leviticus. There he is ordaining the priest. And in ordaining the priest, he prepares them to serve the nation and so that they can be a go-between and a helper to sacrifices. Shortly after Aaron and his sons are put aside, two of Aaron's sons go into the holy place and decide that they're going to worship God their own way. The result is both of them die. And so Aaron and all of Israel needed to be aware that God is holy and one has to be prepared to come into his presence or else they would die. God wanted to be present with his people. So he had them construct a tabernacle. In the tabernacle, there was a curtained off space. In that curtained off space, there was the Ark of the Covenant. On the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. Over the mercy seat, in a glory cloud, God would descend. God wanted to be so close to them. But no one was to enter the Holy of Holies, not even Aaron the high priest, at any time. Aaron was the most holy man in all of Israel. And yet he couldn't walk in and out of the Holy of Holies on his own whims. He would only go in there once a year. Once a year, and only when he had offered sacrifices for his own sins. You see, even with all the sacrifices that were going on, and they made a lot of sacrifices, there were some sins that fell through the cracks. There were some sins that didn't get covered. There were some sins that they knew that was in their lives. It may be like you. You try to walk with God and you try to live for God, but there are some sins that just kind of pop in there, and maybe there are some that you have not dealt with. For those sins that had not been brought before the Lord, there was this day. A sinner may think they were okay anytime and may come in and think God was going to bless them. May I tell you something, Christian? God is not going to deal with you in your life if you have unconfessed sin there. God cannot tolerate sin. Any sin. And so if you want a relationship with God, you've got to deal with the sin. You've got to have that sin forgiven. You've got to bring that sin to God. That was even true for Aaron. He would have to put off his fancy robes, put on a simple linen outfit, and take on the clothes of a simple servant, of a slave. You don't go with a proud heart before God to be forgiven. You go understanding you're a sinner and you go bowing your heart down and you go pleading with God that he may have mercy upon you. Listen, I don't have any right to stand before God. I can only go humbly. And when I think of my life and I think of the glorious life of Jesus, how could I raise my head before Almighty God? You don't come before God puffed up with pride. You come before a holy God with the knowledge that you don't deserve to be there. You don't deserve to be in his presence. So Aaron, the high priest, would dress in humble white clothes. He would offer a bull as a sacrifice for his own sins and for the sins of his family. Now, this is where Aaron and the Christian high priest differ. You see, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a high priest. He is Jesus himself. Aaron had to offer a sacrifice for his own sins before he could offer a sacrifice for anybody else's. You don't see Jesus doing that. When Jesus went to the cross, he didn't have to offer any other sacrifices because Jesus had never sinned. He could go before the Lord offering a completely innocent sacrifice. Aaron would make the sacrifices alone. Nobody else was to be in the tabernacle. Nobody else was to be in the Holy of Holies, certainly not in the Holy of Holies. Our Lord Jesus would go to Calvary alone. He would offer the sacrifice for you and for me alone. The disciples turned against him. From the cross, he gave care of his mother to John. And then he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? For in that moment that your sin and my sin poured through Jesus on that cross, the Father God had to turn away from his Son. For God cannot look upon sin. And Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. In that moment, he bore our sins all alone on the cross. When Aaron was dressed in his robes, there was one thing he couldn't do. It was a fancy getup. You know what he couldn't do? He couldn't sneak up on anybody. There were bells sewn into the hem of his garments. Well, you knew he was coming because the bells were a-ringing. And that was very important for this particular event. You see, no one in the Holy of Holies, no one in the sanctuary. The only way they knew anybody was alive in there was they heard the bells. And the bells was a sign that Aaron was alive and Aaron was going to offer sacrifice. But when Aaron came to this sacrifice, he would lay off those garments and he would put away the bells. Taking on a simple linen outfit, he would go in and they would hear absolutely nothing. They're outside and they're waiting to hear the bell, waiting for the hope that the bell might sound again. Inside, they don't know whether he is alive. They don't know whether he is dead. Listen, Yom Kippur is not a loud celebration. You would not go up to somebody and wish somebody happy Yom Kippur, happy Day of Atonement. No, it was a day of sacrifice. It was a day that your sin had called sacrifices to have to be made. For that, for the reason of sin in people's lives, later on they would actually take to tying a rope around the high priest's ankle so that when he went into the Holy of Holies, if there was any unconfessed sin in his life, they knew he would die and they couldn't go get him. So they tied that rope on so they could pull the body out. On this day, he would go in and they would wait for the sound of the bells. When they heard the sound of the bells, that meant that their sins were forgiven. That meant that God had accepted the sacrifice. It all had been taken care of. And so there's a message in the garments. There's a message in the goats in verse 7. And Aaron shall take two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. God has Aaron take two goats for the congregation of Israel. By lot, one is chosen to be for the Lord. That one will be slaughtered and offered to the Lord. The blood will be sprinkled on the mercy seat and on the altar. When he is finished making atonement for the holy place and for the tabernacle, he would turn his attention to the live goat. Now, he's not going to kill the live goat. What he does is he takes that live goat and he puts his hands upon it and he begins to confess the sins of the nation. and he actually one by one calls out the sins before God. And what he is doing is he's transferring the sins of the nation upon this live goat. Then the Bible says that goat is turned over to a fit man. A fit man, because an unfit man may not get them far enough away. That goat would be led into the wilderness, far, far away, where it could not come back. And then the fit man would let it go in the wilderness. You see, what was happening was God had covered their sins by the blood of atonement, but God was actually, by the scapegoat, sending their sins away. The scapegoat. What a great idea. The goat that was killed pays the price to atone for sins. The scapegoat takes the sins away that they would not come up again. The high priest then puts off the linen garments, puts back on his robe. They hear the bells and they sigh a great sigh of relief. This was repeated. Repeated every year. Because every year they needed new forgiveness. Repeated on top of all the other sacrifices because they needed forgiveness. You see, it was known that that sacrifice could not be permanent. What they really needed was the gift. In 17:11, for the life of flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the souls. You know, we live in a day when people are trying to minimize talk about the blood. We live in a day where people don't want to sing songs that relate to the blood. It seems undignified, or it seems just something that's not for civilized conversation. Nobody, no one with a body, no animal with a body exists without blood. Blood's necessary for life. So God has ordained that he will accept the pure sacrifice of innocent blood to push our sins away, to atone for the sins of the guilty. Now the problem is finding innocent blood. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. In God's grace, for a time, he would accept the sacrifice of an animal's blood to push sin toward Calvary. He knew he would offer a more perfect sacrifice. But for that time, that sin is pushed closer and closer to Jesus. He accepted that sacrifice, but there was a problem. Hebrews 10:4. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. There has never been a way, there's never been a way to erase sins on your own. You can't work to get rid of what you do wrong. If you could, we could just all work our way out. But you can't. What are you going to do that is worth a sin? And you may come up with your own formula, but remember what God paid for sin. What are you going to do that is worth the blood of Jesus Christ? Nothing. There's no labor you can do. There's no hard work you can put yourself to. There's no flailing that can go on that will pay for any sin in your life. So let's just keep offering animals. Well, Hebrews 10:4, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. It is clear on the Day of Atonement, works don't work. In 16:29 it says, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all. on these days of sacrifice, God said, do not work, do not do any iota of work, because you need to know work is not what forgives you. And in the New Testament for believers, it is the same principle. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. My friend, you cannot save yourself. You cannot erase your sins. You cannot forgive yourself. It is impossible for you to do on your own. Your sins cannot be worked away. It is the gift of Jesus' blood on the cross, and only the gift of Jesus' blood on the cross, that can take away our sins. It is what Jesus has done that makes forgiveness possible. Listen to this, Romans 5, 9. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I am justified. I am made right, not because I deserve it, not because I can earn it. I am made right through him. I am justified through him. I am forgiven through him. There may be a person that might not forgive me, but let me tell you, my God has forgiven me. And it all comes not because I deserve it, but because I have accepted him. His blood is applied, and when his blood is applied, forgiveness comes. You may be tormented by your past. You may have messed up beyond belief. You may have done things that other people are not going to forgive, but I got good news for you. My God has done what is necessary to bring forgiveness to you, no matter what you have done, no matter when you have done it. God is willing to forgive you if you will accept his Son, Jesus Christ. It is the blood of Jesus that is powerful enough to forgive you. Hey, let me tell you this. I heard some people not too long ago, they were arguing over the fact that you could be saved today, but maybe you'd be lost next week. You're going to take your way out of God's forgiveness. May I tell you, that doesn't come from God. It doesn't come from God's word. Are you going to say that your sin is more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ? It is the blood of Jesus that's powerful enough not to forgive me for a day, but to forgive me for all eternity. It is the blood of Jesus that forgives my past, that forgives my present, and that forgives my future. It is by the blood of Jesus that I now stand forgiven, but it is by the blood of Jesus I will be forgiven for 10,000 years and counting. Old song we used to sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hey, I'm going to sing the questions. You sing the answer. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? But the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus not only shed his blood, he died, was buried, he rose again. John 1:29 says, John the Baptist sees Jesus coming, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Takes away the sins of the world. He takes away the sins of the spear. He takes away your sin, all of our sin. Believer, Jesus is our scapegoat. He is our sacrifice, but also our scapegoat. Psalms 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, has he removed our sins from us? John 10:17. And their sins I will remember no more. Wow. You know, I have a bad memory. God has a good one. God can remember all things. How can God say he's not going to remember our sins anymore? Because he chooses not to remember our sins anymore when the blood of Jesus has been applied. How does he do this wonderful thing? Well, Romans 1:5 says it. God once and for all released us from our sins by the blood of Jesus. That's almost shouting time for a Baptist. He's released me from my sins. Oh, my sins are there. My sins are horrible. My sins deserve hellfire. My sins deserve eternal punishment. But praise God, the Lord has chosen not to judge me by my sins, but to judge me by my acceptance. And if I have accepted Jesus, then he has covered my sins, he has put them away, and he has given me eternity. And if you are here and you have Jesus, you have that same eternity. Listen, it can't be taken away from you because Jesus isn't going to undie. The Jesus you accepted isn't going to put his blood back in his body. He's already paid it for you. If you've accepted it, it's been applied. It is eternally yours, and forgiveness is eternally yours. Listen, I am forgiven today, forgiven tomorrow, forgiven forever because of Jesus, not because of me. And if you have never received Jesus as your Savior, you need to come to him. Oh, if I didn't know Jesus, I would run to him. I would do whatever I had to do. But all you have to do is say yes. And in just a moment, you can walk down an aisle and you can say, I want Jesus. We know what that means. We'll pray with you. Jesus will come into your heart. You will be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. You will be headed to heaven. It will take place all in a matter of seconds because he's already paid the price. All you have to do is accept it. And maybe you're here and you're a believer, and the truth is that you know the Lord, but you've allowed unconfessed sin to get into your life. What do? Take it back to Jesus. Just confess that sin to Jesus. He's already covered it. It's already forgiven. Just accept the forgiveness of it. Take it back to Jesus. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're going to hear that verse a lot because you need it a lot. And so, believer, you can be forgiven even of your sin. You know, I love children, but I love my children more than just children. God loves children, but he loves his children a little bit more. And so he loves his children enough to forgive them just like he forgives those that aren't his. So if you want to be forgiven, you can come to Jesus and be forgiven. All it takes is accepting what he has done on Calvary's cross. Today can be your day of atonement. Today can be your day of forgiveness. And maybe you're here and God's just said, hey, you need to be a part of this church family. Well, we would love that. Just come and let us know, and we will welcome you into our family. And you can help us serve Jesus. Come serve him with us. God calls you to a decision. I hope you'll make it. If you don't know him, come to him today. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we ask that you would move in our hearts, move us to decisions that we need to make. I pray now, Father, for those that are here that do not know you, that they would come to know you. I pray, Father, for those that have gotten away from you, that they would return to you. I pray, Father, for those that need a church home, that you would guide them to this place. But Father, I pray most of all that Jesus would be exalted. And Father, whatever has to happen for Jesus to be exalted, let that happen in our lives and hearts. And thank you for what you're going to do in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, you come.